Can you stand for the reading of the Word of God? It comes to us again this morning from what should be now a familiar passage. Is this now the fourth week that we've been in Luke chapter 4, 1 to 13 this morning. And we'll come to the end of this series of sermons on temptation. And I think it's been effective because you at the very least have resisted the temptation to not come hear one more sermon on temptation. Hear the Word of God. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed him until an opportune time. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May be seated. Why, he caught me at just the wrong time. You ever said that? Something like that? That lady got to me at just the wrong time. What that usually means is I just did something or I said something I wish I hadn't. Something I regret. Something that I might not have done if it had been a different moment and a different time, but it just hit me at the wrong time. And just the wrong time is exactly what Luke was talking about when he ends the story of Jesus' temptation with that rather ominous line, "When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time." What we call the wrong time, the devil calls an opportune time. It is a moment of vulnerability. Which means, of course, there's really no time when it comes to temptation. There is no time we can let our guard down. Remember that verse from Paul we talked about a couple of times in the last 3 weeks? "Beware when you think you are standing, lest you fall." Opportune times are always out there. So as we come to the end of this series on temptation, I leave you with this, that maybe the most important thing of all is the ability to recognize when I'm vulnerable. What are my opportune times? Some of you might have heard of a self-care tool that is called HALT. H-A-L-T. It's an acronym for hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. What they represent really are moments of vulnerability for us. From this story's perspective, they represent opportune times for the enemy to tempt us. I, however, think I would spell it with two A's. And I would add one more to that acronym, AFRAID. Hungry, angry, afraid, lonely, or tired. One of the things to understand about all temptation, at its core, it is always an attempt to undermine our faith. Now, we may feel like we are tempted to do things that are wrong or immoral or sinful. But all that is a means to an end. To tempt us to cross a line to do something wrong or sinful is ultimately to try to create in us some distance between us and God. To create in us some sense of shame or guilt that separates me from God. And ultimately, in the process, to undermine my faith in a God who forgives, a God who is good and merciful, a God who could love me in spite of the fact that I crossed that line. all temptation in the end is a temptation to not trust God. To not trust God's goodness or God's mercy. To not trust God's wisdom or God's will. And we've already looked at hunger in the first of Jesus' temptations. But that wasn't a new temptation to use on Jesus alone. You remember the story of the Exodus when Israel is leaving Egypt and they're on their way to the promised land and lingering all that time in the desert? And there was no food and there was no water and they were hungry and they were thirsty and they began to complain bitterly against God. And they wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to turn away from the plan that God had for their lives, for God's will, for God's wisdom. It was an opportune time for the devil to undermine their faith in God who had a plan for their lives. So when I'm suffering from any physical need deprivation, from when I'm hungry to when I'm sick, I am vulnerable. I'm vulnerable to taking matters into my own hands. I'm vulnerable to giving up my faith on a God who can provide for me or a God who desires to see me healed and whole. Or what about when I'm angry? I mean, let's face it, we're all going to get angry, right? Anger is a natural human response to things like frustration or fear. We're all going to get angry. Remember what Paul said in that great line in Ephesians when he said, "In your anger," because you're going to get angry, "do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil a foothold." What did he mean? Anger is an opportune time. Remember what happened to Moses in the wilderness on that same Exodus journey I just talked about? With all those complaining people, he became angry. Understandably so, he became angry. Not just angry with them, he became angry with God. How God could send him out here with all these complaining people. How God could set him up for failure. There's no way to be successful with these people. In fact, if you know that whole story, you'll know it was his angry reaction in that vulnerable time that prevented him from entering the promised land. When I'm angry, I don't think clearly. You know the old saying, "I saw red"? Yeah, it means I'm not seeing clearly because of my anger. It means in this emotional state, I am vulnerable to temptation to react, to respond. And the reason I would add afraid after anger, for men particularly, anger is closely tied to fear. And fear is a primary enemy of faith. For instance, nothing in life attacks my faith more than an attack on the people that I love. So if something happens to my children or my spouse, that frightens me. And when I'm frightened, I have a tendency to be angry. To be angry at God who didn't protect them. And it runs the risk of distancing me from the one source of comfort and hope I have in the face of their circumstance. My thinking begins to be clouded and I forget the one simple fact that God loves my children and my spouse more than me. In the Bible, I think about Peter. In the time when Jesus first revealed to him that he was going to the cross to die. And we find Peter angrily challenging Jesus on the direction he was taking. Why? Because he was afraid. He was afraid for Jesus. He was afraid for what it meant for him. And struggling to trust what is the will of God when I don't understand why this could happen. So beware when we're angry. Beware when we're afraid. They are opportune times. And then there's the vulnerable place of loneliness. You know, to be alone and to be lonely are two different things. You can be lonely even when you're not alone. And you can be alone and not be lonely. But both are vulnerable places to be alone, but particularly to be lonely. Oftentimes when we find ourselves lonely, we are tempted to anesthetize our loneliness. Or we're tempted to make bad decisions about relationships. I mean, why do you think in the beginning God said, "It's not good that the man should be alone"? It wasn't just about his blessing him with companionship. It was about his vulnerability in his loneliness. We are vulnerable there. To be lonely can be a temptation to feel abandoned by God. to give up our faith on God's will for our lives. Remember the story of Elijah? Elijah was the great prophet of God in the time of King Ahab and Jezebel, his wife, the queen. Jezebel was the worshiper of a pagan god. She vowed to kill all the prophets of God, which she had pretty much successfully done, with the exception of Elijah, or so he thought. She vows to take his life before the sun sets, and Elijah runs for his life. And runs. And runs. At the end of the day, it says he fell down under a tree, exhausted, hungry, lonely, afraid, all of those vulnerable things. And he says to God, "I alone am left. Go ahead and kill me now." Loneliness led to despair. Despair was a loss of hope. A loss of hope leads to a loss of faith. Maybe no more opportune time came after Jesus' initial temptations than on the night before he was crucified. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and in that place full of fear and loneliness, he asked Peter and James and John, his closest friends, to stay awake with him and watch with him. He knew his vulnerability that night of being alone. And there that night, the tempter returned, and Jesus would have to decide that night, could he continue to walk in faith? Could he continue to trust God, even if it took him down the road to suffering and death? And it continued even to the next day, hanging on a cross, when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So beware when we are lonely. And finally, when we are tired. You remember the story about how Jesus had sent the disciples out on their mission and ministry, and they came back and they were having incredible success and raving about all the things that God was doing through them. And at the moment of their greatest success, Jesus picks them up and takes them away from their work and says to them to come away with him and rest for a while, for you are so busy you do not even have leisure to eat. What Jesus recognized was the vulnerability that was coming in their exhaustion. I talked a little bit last week about burnout as a consequence of climbing the pinnacle of the temple and trying to live as if we don't have limits in our life. What we also know is that people act out when they are burnt out. When we are overtired physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, sometimes that acting out is a way that we unconsciously force ourselves out of where we are because we cannot make a decision to back away from or walk away from something that is exhausting us and destroying our faith. So hungry, angry, afraid, lonely, tired, halt, the acronym says, stop. Stop when we're in one of those places and pay attention. Pay attention to our vulnerability. Stop and pay attention to the God who is with us and longs to fill our hunger, calm our fears, assuage our anger, comfort our loneliness, restore our weariness. There are other opportune moments. They are different for all of us. But one thing we know is there is no time to let our guard down. Maybe Peter, who among all the disciples certainly knew about vulnerable moments, gave the best piece of advice in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, when he said this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves and keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resistant, steadfast in your faith." So how do we protect ourselves in opportune moments? Peter says, humble ourselves, at least admit when we're vulnerable. Cast our anxiety or our fear upon him who cares for us rather than taking all of that anxiety upon ourselves. Discipline ourselves. Stay away from the lines. Care for ourselves. physically, emotionally, spiritually. Keep alert. Pay attention when we're hungry, angry, afraid, lonely, tired. Resist Him. Stay steadfast in faith. Do what I need to do to shore up my faith. It is the strength of my resistance. One place we are strengthened always is here at this table. We gather at the table because this is a place where our hunger is fed and our fears are comforted. Here is a place where we are no longer alone and we find rest for our weary souls. Here we come to be prepared for the opportune moments that will await us when we walk out that door. Amen.